Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
The philosopher back in the 1500s, Michel de Montaigne, a very interesting man if you read some of his stuff. He once made the interesting observation, and remember this is 500 years ago, that even though human beings are unable to create a worm or an ant, we create gods by the dozens, which is a really good statement. And if you consider, look it up on Google, there are over 50,000 different religions in the world right now today. So you get a feeling for what he's talking about. I mean, what's interesting is, and it may seem obvious to point this out, but I'm going to say it anyway. Every single one of us in this room, in this city, in this world, were born without any specific religion. Everybody knows that, right? Okay. Now, her parents may have put one down on her birth certificate, but that didn't mean anything to us at the time, because the only idea we had, and obviously we don't remember it, at some level we do, but most of us don't, the only idea of God we had when we first showed up on the planet was whatever idea we brought with us, whatever was already in here, in our consciousness, okay? I don't mean in our brain, I mean in our spiritual consciousness. And since we all must have come from the same place, wherever that happens to be, then we all must have come here with the same level of knowledge about this creative power that was somehow involved with us taking on this physical form that could think and move and breathe on its own, because now we were filled with this thing that we call life. But shortly thereafter, shortly after we showed up, we all got automatically enlisted, by virtue of being part of the human race, in a giant guessing game that the world had been playing since time began called religion. We all got pulled into that. And that was where we started asking a lot of very big questions and guessing at the answers. We started asking questions at whatever age we happened to do it, like, why am I here? Who made me? What does he or she look like? And if we all look different, then which one of us does God look like? That was always a question they asked in the catechism classes I was in. But those are children's questions. As we get older, the questions get deeper. Is there a God? And if there is a God, what does this power God want me to do here? And what terrible things might it do to me if I don't do what I'm supposed to do? And most important of all, who's going to tell me what I'm supposed to be doing and how I'm supposed to do it? That's really what religion boils down to for a lot of people. And those questions may sound a little funny or strange when we talk about them that way, but the answers can be very, very serious. Because the truth is, throughout history, in making up answers to all these different existential and confusing questions, we as a race have come up with enough answers in the form of scriptures, laws, commandments, dogma, doctrine, and everything else to separate us into thousands of different religious teachings, philosophies, and organizations whose main goal is to prove that they are right and everyone else is wrong. That's really a common goal from a lot of religions. In fact, that's one of the main problems behind a lot of the social and political problems in the world that we haven't been able to solve. So as a result, religion, which was supposed to be our individual sacred connection with our loving creator, that's what it was supposed to be, has become the most deadly, destructive, and divisive force in all of history. So I'm speaking today on a topic that I read about a few years ago and started getting into, and I really find it interesting. The title of the talk is Following False Gods. And that's a reference you read in virtually any religious text you happen to read, whatever it happens to be. They warn you against following false gods. But the truth is, that's what we've all been doing. That's where all the separation and most of the confusion is coming from. Because every single one of us at some level has been worshiping, and if you don't like the word worshiping, you can say focusing our energy and our attention and our devotion, which is what worshiping is, on beliefs and ideas and things that are so far away from the idea of God that we should be focusing on that it's no wonder we aren't growing together as a race and reaching a higher spiritual level. Whatever religious belief we follow, and we have people here who go to Catholic Mass on Saturday night so they can come here on Sunday morning. We have people who drop their kids off at Jewish school and they come here for the services. We have a whole assortment of people of a wide range of different religions, including Hinduism and Buddhism, who show up in centers like this one. But whatever religious system or spiritual system we follow, what it should be telling us is this. If we are to survive and grow in the world in a spiritual way, we need to start thinking intelligently about spiritual concepts that directly affect what's going on in the world, instead of blindly following certain rules and beliefs laid down by all the different organizations that claim to have all the answers. Now, it isn't that these rules and regulations that the different churches put down are necessarily bad, because every teaching has some truth in it. It's just that when we follow whatever we're being told without understanding the deeper truth that lies beneath what they're telling us, that keeps us from growing. We have to get down deep. We have to accept the obvious truth that being attached to old ideas that have been interpreted for us and applied to us by other people not only holds us back, it keeps us separated. It keeps us separated from one another. It keeps us separated from the world we're living in, and it keeps us separated from God. In fact, what we refer to as traditional religion, with all of the bells and the smells and the sacraments and the rituals and the costumes and all the different things that humankind has come up with, can be just as limiting as worshiping a golden calf or a stone idol. That's why more and more people today, including most of you, I would assume, whenever you fill out any sort of an application, a job application or something, and some of them still have religion, what do most of us check? Spiritual but not religious. All right, more and more people are doing that today, because spirituality is open while religion is frequently closed. All right, one of them expands us while the other one limits us. So because of this, we have to re-examine on a regular basis not just our life's purpose, but the purpose of life itself. Now, a big part of our purpose is to grow in our understanding of who we are and why we're here. We all realize that. But how do we do this? Now, we listen to a few different people. We read a few different books. We get a few good ideas. But the real spiritual connection that we are all looking for can only be made between us and the God of our understanding, not somebody else's. Because the kind of God, and some people have trouble with that word, but the kind of God that we believe in is entirely up to us. There's a statement many of you have heard. I know Beverly and a number of people who have been in this for a long time have heard. Somebody said that Jesus was pointing at the answer and we started worshiping his finger. You've heard that phrase? Okay, it's a very interesting phrase. But there's a lot of truth to it. I mean, I think we need to be grateful for all the spiritual teachers that we have been given, all the wisdom teachings that we have been given, but then we need to move forward and follow the spiritual wisdom within us. That's what this kind of teaching is about, to a place of greater understanding. So let me start with this question. Referencing the title, Following False Gods, what do I mean by a false god? That's a good question. Some people believe a false god is any god other than the one they believe in. A lot of people will tell you that. But to answer that question completely, we first have to ask, what do we mean by a God? What do we mean by God? Now, most traditional religions that most of us are raised in teach that God is what? It is a being of some sort who lives in a specific place, who manages things on earth, including us. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a much deeper idea. At its most basic definition, and get this, because a lot of it is hinging on this, a god is any idea or belief or person or place or thing that we believe has power beyond our own, which is not a problem. That's not a big deal. It becomes a problem, however, when we also believe that this power, whatever it is, has a will or a purpose that's not in tune with our greater good. If we allow our God to do things to us that don't help us grow, if we allow it to limit what we are doing. So if we, consciously or unconsciously, give up our power to choose how we want to live our own life because we believe that someone or something outside of us has control over us, then we're following a false god. That's what we mean here. If you think about it, it makes sense. We don't need to study some deep philosophy or read some holy book to know that this is true. Every single one of us here, once we start to become self-aware, which is an extremely important part of spirituality, we know through experience that wherever we focus our thoughts and our emotions, that's the direction our life ends up going. We've all seen this from experience. Or as Dr. Holmes put it, where mind goes, energy flows. Great little t-shirt there. In other words, if we believe that something is true, whether it's true or not for anyone else, our actions and our behaviors will affect their belief. If we believe God is one thing, that's the way we're going to live our life. Now, a great example of this is the voodoo religion in the Caribbean. People who believe, truly believe that they've been cursed, will get sick and die. It happens. They've studied it and done all that stuff. But the question is, did the curse kill them? And the answer is no. It was their total belief in the power of the curse and wherever that came from that had that action on them. So you could say the curse was a false idea, that a false God that they chose to believe in. And some people go, well, yeah, that's just that kind of a thing. It's all weird anyway. But let's take this a step further. If you think about it, the very same process is being played out in very prestigious medical institutions around the world today. In many different cases, people believe they're dying because they are told they are, and so they do. It happens all the time. They give their power away to something they believe is more powerful than the power of life and the power of healing that they were born with, that they were actually born with. Okay, they give their power away to the power of modern medicine. Now, modern medicine is wonderful, but we have to understand our part in it, our belief in it. There are lots of other things in the world that we give our power to also, and we could all make a list of all these different things. And what we are doing is worshiping false gods. Now, some of these things are fairly harmless, all right, that people get obsessed with. Golf, that's one of mine. Shopping. You can raise your hand if any of these apply to you. Astrology, video games. I know we got some Pokemon players out there. Project Runway, Downton Abbey. We could run through that list. Chocolate, you know. All of these things are fairly harmless if we just really, really obsess with them. But sometimes we get caught up in much more serious obsessions or addictions, both of which are just terms for worship and adoration, if you think about it. And that's when we start to sacrifice our individual freedom to choose. And the place we sacrifice our freedom to choose is at the altar of our obsession. At the altar of our obsession. Now, the list of negative obsessions is pretty predictable. Some of us have dealt with these things. Some of us have relatives and friends. We've got alcohol and drugs. We've got sex and money and power. We got workaholism, people do that. We got worshiping the body, which can lead to all sorts of different disorders. And all this list goes on and on. But all of these obsessive behaviors have one thing in common. They become insurmountable barriers for us when we surrender our power to them. When we surrender our power to them. Now, it isn't that we're powerless to handle them. We are not. But our belief that these things are necessary to make us feel whole and complete causes us to feel that we are unable to live without them. So they become the object of our adoration. They become false gods. Now, it's important for us to understand the power of our thoughts and emotions when we're dealing with spirituality. In one sense, a false god is anything that either restricts our power to choose or causes us to use our power in a negative or self-destructive way. The key lies in our understanding of what the true nature of this power is. We have to recognize that this power is where we are, it supports us completely, and it is subject to our direction. That's very, very important. So this power we're talking about, lots of different names, spirit, cosmic energy, universal mind. It's the one creative intelligence. It's the source of everything that exists. It's God and Allah and Yahweh and Buddha and all these other names. And the movement of this power, the movement and the action of this power in us shows up as thought and emotion. So it all starts with an idea. It all starts with our ability to choose the kind of power we believe is present in our life. All right? Because that power is the source of every action we take and all the conditions and life experiences that we have. Thought and emotion are the action of God in us and as us. They cannot be separated. So when we allow something outside of us to control our thoughts and our beliefs, whether it's an obsession, an addiction, the news, another person, whatever it happens to be, and consequently have our emotions get dragged into this, we give away our power to choose how we respond. But when we finally allow the wisdom that's within us, that spiritual knowing that we were all born with, to be the measurement, the yardstick by which we measure our beliefs, then we take back the power. We don't allow ourselves to get angry or depressed just because someone else's belief differs from ours, or because something happens in the world that our idea of God can't explain. We take control of our thoughts and emotions. We stop getting dragged into situations where we hurt ourselves or other people emotionally or physically, all right? We begin to understand and to think and to believe and to actually live our life as if there were only one true power, a power that includes everyone and excludes no one. And as we do this, as we start to focus on the true power as it exists, supportive and all, something amazing happens. The false gods that we have been giving our power to start to fade away. They simply fade away. I mean, it's time we all realize that anything we give our power to tells us more about ourselves than it does about the thing that we're focusing on. All right? If we focus all our energy, for example, on having to find someone to love in our life, we're saying we believe that love is missing in our life. And that's something that we have no power over. If we try to escape emotional pain through drugs and alcohol, we're saying that there's a hole in us that cannot be filled by anything in us. We need something outside of us. And that's where we go looking for these false ideas. We need to know this because knowing the way that the law of mind works, we create situations that affect our belief. There's a man by the name of Harold Kushner. He's a rabbi, very, very wise man. Wonderful books, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? You may have read a few of the others. Wonderful man. But he had a statement I truly loved. He said, God is like a mirror. The mirror never changes, but everyone who looks in it sees something different. It's a wonderful metaphor. Everyone who looks at the idea of God sees something different. So we have to examine our beliefs on a regular basis. That's our spiritual personal responsibility. We can do it in meditation. We can do it in prayer. We can do it through simple self-contemplation until we become very, very clear about what we believe our higher power can and can't do for us in our life. And if the God of our present understanding, and it's all different, we're all looking in the same mirror and seeing something different, if it does not appear to be helping us make our life better, all right, if we feel a constant need to go outside to find things to fill in the holes, then we are following a false god. Because you can't fill inside holes with outer stuff. You just can't. Because any true God is something that supplies an answer when we ask for it. Even more than that, it is the answer before we ask for it. It's greater than any person, thing, idea, or belief that tries to take its place. So let me just give you a suggestion. Let's try something a little different. Let's think about how we can tell if our own individual idea of God is working for us. What can we do? So to do this, we have to ask ourselves some very specific questions. You can ask yourself, I'll sort of ask it for me. First question, is my God big enough to contain all my dreams and imagination? That's the first question. Is it strong enough to smooth away my fears and my self-doubts? Is it open enough to allow me to grow and to change and to achieve anything that I desire? And most important of all, is it a God I can trust? Is it a God I can trust? Because there are a lot of people in the world who believe that God does not have their best interests at heart. There are a lot of people who have no idea what to expect from God after they die. They don't even know what kind of a mood God's going to be in tomorrow morning. So how can they trust this power to support them? So let's ask for a second, what does it mean to trust in God? Because It's written on your money. Pull out a bill. In God we trust, okay? So what does this actually mean? Because it's got to mean something. C.S. Lewis, familiar with him? Very Christian writer. He wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and other children's books like that. This is a short few sentences long, but it's very profound. He said, and think of this in terms of how much do I trust the God of my understanding. He said, you never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life or death. It's easy to say you believe a rope to be strong as long as you're using it to tie up a box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over a precipice, okay? Wouldn't you first discover how much you really trusted it? So that's kind of an acid test. The acid test of whether the God we believe in is a true God or a false God is how well it supports us in living a life filled with peace, love, and joy. That's it. That's the test. And that has to be true both in our happiest moments and in the darkest moments of our life. Anything less is unacceptable. Now, there's a few other qualities that your God may want to have, or mine. Up to you. It's your choice. We should never have to look for it because it's always in us, right where we are. We should never have to wonder what it wants us to do because it wants us to do what it does, which is to live life in a joyful, loving way. We should never have to worry that it's going to punish us or destroy us or anything else because it's too smart to create something that it doesn't support. I mean, if you think about it, one of the most difficult things in this teaching is we talk about God as an impersonal power, but the biggest difficulty I found people in this teaching have is finding how to have a personal relationship with an impersonal power. How do you have a personal relationship with an impersonal power? It's a difficult question, but this is what I believe. I believe that our God should always be our closest friend, our most passionate and faithful lover, and the best mother and father since Leave It to Beaver. Okay, that's what I believe. Our God, the God of my understanding, and if you so choose, of yours, should be the perfect answer to every question and embody the deepest and richest purpose of every life ever lived, including ours. That's the kind of a power that deserves our attention. Finally, there's one more thing we need to know. And we need to know this completely without question. As we learn through spiritual practice to open our mind and our heart, any message we receive, however it shows up, from another person, from something that happens in our life, whatever it is, any message we receive that contains fear, anger, or hatred in any form does not come from God. It doesn't come from God or from anyone who understands the truth of what God is. In addition, any message we're exposed to that tries to judge us, disempower us, or criticize us is also the message of a false God. Now, when we receive these messages, which we do in many different ways, we don't need to fight them. We simply need to feel compassion for the people who are trying to inflict them upon us, but not give those people any power in our life. By our very action of staying centered and peaceful and loving in every situation, we can show other people that there's a better way for them to see themselves, a better way to see us, and a better way to see God. We open a door for change. You see, whenever we come together in a spiritual community, whether it's this one or any of the other many spiritual meetings that are happening in Atlanta today, but in this place, there's something unique. Because we are not here to learn about somebody else's God. We're here to learn about our own true God and what it means to us, all right? We're here to learn how to trust what we already know, what we have known from the day we were born. We're here to remind ourselves and each other that we are enough because the one perfect power that dwells in us and exists through us is always enough. It's always enough. One of the first things some of us, I know many of us, realized when we first came in these doors, in the doors of a place like this, and we started to truly listen instead of what most of us did when we first came in here, is argue. We argue with these ideas. You know, we fought and fought and fought till all of a sudden one day we went, this makes sense. Some of this makes sense. What we realized in that moment of clarity was that we had given away too much of our power over the course of our life. That's a wonderful revelation. And we had given it away to a lot of different people and organizations and different opinions. We realized that we had placed our confidence in false ideas and false gods that no longer served us. So at one point, and you may be there, you may not, at one point, we made a change. We made a change. We took what we heard and we made the decision to take our power back. We made the decision to open up our mind and open up our heart and let God not in, to let it out. A lot of other places in town want you to let God in. I don't have to let God in, and neither do you. It is already here where I am. So we open our mind and heart and let it out. And once you do that, once we did that, we never looked back because we knew we were in the right place. And our mind and our heart were in the right place. We knew that we were, as we always are, in the presence of that most sacred power that's always wherever we are and will always be wherever we will be. And that's something we can trust because this is the truth in your life. And this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's just take a moment. Now, these are powerful ideas. They can raise conflict in our mind. They can bring up our past. They can make us look at things we're confronting in our life right this moment and seem lost or confused. But what these ideas bring is spiritual clarity because they bring truth. They bring a deeper awareness of who and what we really are. They bring the awareness that each and every one of us is a perfect idea in the mind of a loving God. It allows us to remember that God lives in us and that we live in God. We don't get attached to words, spirit, life, the universe. All these different words are the same thing because this power is nameless. It simply is what it is. And that spot inside of us, that point that just glows whenever we feel truly connected to our God center, we realize that that never goes away. The light never goes out. We may ignore it sometimes. We may forget it's there, but we can always go back to that center. And that grounding that we get when we hold to this center makes us truly powerful. It allows us to face any conflict, to face any threat, to face anything, and to be centered, to be calm and at peace, and know that there is nothing we can't handle because the power that created us, sustained us, and lives as us supports us in all things. So as we know this, we honor all the various religions and various beings by their various names, because we realize that that's what some people may believe. But we focus most powerfully on the God of our understanding, on that who I know because it is who I am, and I give thanks. I give thanks for this awareness. I give thanks for these ideas. I give thanks for this deeper knowing. And I give thanks for the opportunity to express life in whatever way I choose. This is my gift. This is your gift. We accept it during this wonderful holiday season. We embrace it and we release it. Join me in saying, and so it is.